Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Jerusalem that day was starting to calm down a little. There had been a great celebration, as there is every year on the feast of the Passover. The temple was abuzz. The streets were filled with those who had traveled from far distances to come and be in Jerusalem at the temple. Families came to remember what the Lord had done for the Hebrew people, how he had delivered them out of slavery from the land of Egypt, how the blood of the Lamb was placed on the doorposts of the homes of the Hebrews when they were in bondage. And as the angel of death came to strike the firstborn of Egypt, the final plague that would ultimately give them their release from bondage and slavery, the angel of death would pass over the houses with the blood of the Lamb. It was the Lord himself that had led the Hebrew people into freedom. Now, sometimes it's easy for us in our modern day thinking, and which really isn't thinking, it's feeling. But Passover, now that's a celebration that's honest. It's honest about sin. It's honest about death. It's honest about the need for sacrifice. This is the feast that is the central feast for the Hebrew people, even to this day. And incidentally, it is the heritage of the feast that is the feast for Christians. Mary and Joseph have traveled an entire day before they realize that their 12-year-old son is missing. Now, I'm not condemning them. I'm a little bit more, I don't know, forceful about where my 12-year-old, I'm forceful where my 16-year-old is. But nevertheless, they realize he's not with them, and so they make their way back and they begin to search day one, day two, day three. And having lost our children, not through neglect, I don't think, but particularly that 5-year-old who just looks for opportunities to run away, we can be rather exasperated, fearful. We can even start taking it out on each other. Have you ever been there, moms and dads? When your child is gone and you're just scared. And there's a mixture of fear and anger and apprehension. Mary and Joseph dealt with that for 3 days. 3 days of uncertainty. I hope you're picking up on some of the hints here. Finally, they find Jesus. And guess what? He was never lost. He's in the temple. If they had understood who he was, they could have gone there first, right? Sort of like the answer to that question when you say to somebody, I've lost my jacket. Well, where did you leave it? Well, if I knew where I'd left it, it wouldn't be lost. I'd go get it. If Mary and Joseph had known who their son truly was, they would have known to go to his house. And there in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening, asking questions, even answering the questions, is Jesus. And when his mother breaks up this holy conversation among her son and the learned leaders of the temple, she says, like any mother in this room would say, son, why have you treated me this so? Us this so? And Jesus, unafraid, unconfused, with words that are simple, and yet at the same time are profound. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Now this is not disobedience. This is revelation. Jesus is claiming the temple as the house of his Father, and therefore his house as well. This house, which was the place that the Lord himself once dwelt at its dedication under Solomon in a cloud. That glory now belongs to the Son, who stands in that house, this time clothed with flesh and blood. What King Solomon saw filled with smoke, Mary now finds filled with her child. This is Isaiah's promise that was read to you. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. The same kind of phraseology that the Father says at the baptism of his Son. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. This servant, Jesus, isn't the kind of guy that goes about shouting. He does not crush the weak. He does not snuff out the dimly lit wicks. You remember all of that in Isaiah? He comes gently. He comes faithfully. And he comes to establish the Lord's justice. And there's a whole sermon series just in that. And here he is, not arriving with spectacle, not coming with an army to overthrow Rome, a 12-year-old boy standing in his dad's house and already about his father's work. And Luke is very careful to tell us when this happens, at Passover. Remember that? This is that feast that remembers judgment, God's judgment on the Egyptians, and mercy, God's mercy to the Hebrews. This feast remembers that sin is real and death is real, but that the Lord provides the lamb. Remember when Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac? The Lord provides the lamb. The Lord is bringing justice. Somebody's going to pay for the sins of the world. Somebody's going to pay for your sins and my sins. For the true Lamb is in the temple. Now at the time, he's not yet sacrificed. He's not been rejected yet, but he is already obedient. He's already walking the road that leads through Jerusalem and beyond it. And Mary and Joseph find him in 3 days. Scripture doesn't waste that detail. 3 days of absence, 3 days of fear, 3 days before he's found again in the place of God's presence. The same kind of 3 days that Jesus' disciples spent in confusion and uncertainty and darkness after their Lord had been crucified. 3 days that the world sat in wonder. 3 days that the hosts of hell thought that they had defeated the God of the universe. But God's presence is coming again. The same Jesus will be lost to death, and the city will search for him. The disciples will grieve. But notice on the what day? Third day, he will be found again, alive, victorious, and bringing forgiveness. Now, Passover teaches us not to pretend here, guys. Brothers and sisters, slavery is real. Death is real. Fear is real. Desolation is real. We're not diminishing that. Sin wounds us. Guilt weighs on us. Hope flickers like a dim wick, to use Isaiah's language. Desolation is real. We got to get our heads wrapped around that. Our culture says, well, just don't pay attention to that. Well, let's not worry about that. Well, we'll just overlook that. No, God doesn't do that. God respects you and us too much to say what you're going through isn't real. It is. But what God does say, grace is real too. Mercy is real too. And I still come to be with you. As a matter of fact, when I come to be with you, it is more real than the problems or the struggles or the sin that you are trying to overcome. Men, you might wake up every day and say to yourself, this day I'm going to conquer this sin. And before you know it, you'll fall. And ladies, you might wake up and say, this day I'm not going to do that. And before you know it, your lips have uttered the very words you didn't want to utter. But the servant comes not to break the bruised reeds of the sinner. He does not come to extinguish the weak faith that so many of us grasp onto, hoping that it's true. No, he comes in the midst of that fear, and he bears that fear and that lack of faith on his own flesh. The very one who claims the temple will one day cleanse it is the one who comes. The one who teaches the teacher will be the one that is condemned by them. And the one found after 3 days will rise again after 3 days. And he does all of this for you. Now we have edifices of great glory in our midst. We love the bricks and mortar and timber and nails of this structure. We may revere certain places, Jerusalem, Augsburg, Wittenberg, St. Louis. That's where the headquarters are. Some of you are thinking, what's in St. Louis? Frankly, I've been there. Not much. We may have places that we think are holy in and of themselves, but God in this story has said it's not the place that it is holy. It is the one who has come to the place that is holy. And the temple comes to you today. The very temple of God is coming to you today. Because this is the Epiphany miracle. That Jesus does not only claim the temple as his, he becomes it. The dwelling place of God is no longer bound to stone and sacrifice. Remember that in our teen Bible study this past week about God's declarations? It is found. Here it is. If you listen to nothing else, listen to this. The temple is found wherever Christ is, and wherever Christ is present for his sinners, his children who are sinners. It's found in his word. It's found in the words of forgiveness, the absolution. It is found in his body and his blood at the altar. This is why Paul can urge us to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Not because we have to earn God's favor, but because God's favor has already come to us and dwelt with us in Christ. You are not left wandering. You are not left alone. You are in the Father's house. Why is this the Father's house? Not because of the pretty windows or the arched roofs, it's because Christ is coming to dwell here. In his Father's house, the Father's house is wherever the Son is. The Jesus who stayed behind in the temple now promises never to leave you behind. And he comes to us today in his very body and blood. And the Jesus found after 3 days now promises to come to us, and he will be found. In just a few moments, my brothers and sisters, behold the servant, behold the Son, behold the Savior. Your desolation is real, but his grace is realer. And the Son is in his Father's house this day, and he is coming to you and to me. The temple is here. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.